I just had 0.4 Bitcoin right now, and I did exactly what I was trying to, like, just worked until I'm 65. That's plenty of Bitcoin to retire. Now, if I wanted to retire sooner,
I just want the data. The diagnosis hits, the chronic disease hits, and then what, right? Think about it.
Basically, the lifestyles that we've had right now is essentially the reasoning for a lot of these diseases that are popping up.
And I think it's by design. Every other day, so 4 days a week. If you look at the stats behind what that does,
what's up, guys? 70,000 of you guys keep coming back every single month, but 71% are not subscribed. So you're going to miss out on some of the great green candle content. So make sure that you're hitting that subscribe button with the bell notification so you get notified every time I drop a video. All right, now let's get back into this great interview.
Bing bong. We are back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Morelli in the house, the anti-aging king here with me. But Mike, a very common topic in the Bitcoin space is how much Bitcoin you need to retire. But a lot of people don't talk about how long they're going to live to actually get that. So combining this longevity of just the overall human body and with this hard money that has the fixed scarcity, the only things more scarce in life than Bitcoin is time.
Oh my goodness.
So how important do you think the pairing of that is, and just understanding the differences and the similarities between having a scarce money and essentially time that's scarce, but able to maximize both?
Yeah, and that is a great point. And I'll say that the more Bitcoin you accumulate, the longer you want to live, right? But there's two sides to this thing, right? You've heard about lifespan, right? Lifespan is how long you live. What few people talk about is health span, right? It's how healthy you live, right, during the duration of life. I don't want to live a long time if I'm hooked up to oxygen tanks, I've got the walker with tennis balls, right? I want to max life out. And that's the key, right? Health span and lifespan, you need them both.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think the unique thing of this, right, is like if you look at Bitcoin, how essentially it just doesn't steal away from your time, right? Like you can, you look at housing, for example. If you price Bitcoin in housing, or if you price housing in Bitcoin, in 2017, the average house in the United States was 24 Bitcoin. Right now, it's about 4 Bitcoin. So you see in an 8 years time period, that goes down dramatically. But that house, it's not built as properly as, you know, that was before. It's the first time in history we're seeing existing home prices actually be worth more than new houses.
Crazy.
And people don't talk about how, you know, your health interacts with all of this. So as a health guy, how did you find Bitcoin, and how do you see the similarities between these two worlds?
Yeah, so I found Bitcoin in 2020. I learned about it in 2016. If only I would have taken the advice. Stubborn me, right? And I didn't know enough about it at the time. So 2020, I'm listening to Saylor, listening to Robert Breedlove, who I admire, and it finally clicked. And so I got into Bitcoin. At the time, I was already into health. And I didn't think about those two in tandem in 2020. I was already on this health journey. As an ex-addict, someone who was addicted to cocaine and ecstasy, I drank my life away for about a decade. From 19 years old until I was 31, I hit rock bottom in 31. I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to alcohol and ruined my body and my life. Had an awakening at 31. This was still before Bitcoin. But in 2020, I find Bitcoin and I started investing in Bitcoin. Now, I wasn't a maxi at the time. Sorry, guys.
Hey, it happens, man. It happens.
I wasn't a maxi. So I'm going from Bitcoin, and then I go to Solana, and then I go to Solana NFTs, and I go to Ethereum NFTs. And then, for whatever reason, I got lucky. My gut said, this is not going to last. And I cashed out and I moved it all into Bitcoin. And I've been in Bitcoin ever since. In terms of similarity, right? You mentioned it. Time is our scarcest asset. Bitcoin is the scarcest money. I want to be able to enjoy the scarcest money. And so I'm going to take care of my health, because time is one thing. Being able to have the freedom to enjoy that time any way that you want is a completely different story.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, we're starting to see, I guess, these worlds start to collide, right? We've got Pal Saladino, Sean Baker, a lot of the carnivore diets start to come in because, you know, they see the degradation of the food industry, but not a lot of people put that together with the health industry. I mean, it's kind of getting there, but it hasn't fully got there. So as somebody that's, you know, in this fitness industry, what are some of the things that you've seen just kind of, I guess, degrade since you've been in it? Has it been the food dramatically? Has it been, you know, obviously the testosterone levels and everything like that of men is going down? Like, what do you think's like the main root cause of a lot of just humans in general degrading in all of this chronic disease and everything we have right now?
Yeah, well, I think big food, right, is in bed with big pharma, right? And it's a trap. I think 2020 with COVID really opened our eyes to just how bad things are, meaning like they don't want us to be healthy, right? I think we know when grandma goes into the sick care system, unfortunately, grandma never comes out, right? She's not coming out vibrant and healthy again, right? She's withering away, more medication, more tests, more time. Sorry. Your grandma's got to get her affairs in order. I mean, that's just the reality of things. And so, you know, you see that the COVID vaccine totally wakes you up. Now, personally, I've been against vaccines. My kids aren't vaccinated. I've been against it long before COVID came. But I think COVID really opened our eyes to just what is going on in the healthcare or the sick care system.
Yeah, and it's like they're not incentivized to keep us healthy at this point, right? I mean, it's dollar bills, y'all. I mean,
empty hospital beds are not paying the bills.
Yeah.
Right? It's sad. It's sad, but it is the reality.
And then, you know, we've seen this rise in chronic disease, right? I mean, you know, just from personal, you know, I've had some family members that are on the young side, very healthy, very active. They have chronic disease. They have, you know, some like rheumatoid arthritis in high school, even like things that you just don't normally see. And it seems like that's becoming more commonplace, especially even with like food. Like I feel like, you know, the lactose intolerance, the celiacs, like all those things weren't common before. So do you think that all of these incentives, the short-term incentives, has just caused all of these industries to dive down? And then what is like the solution to kind of get back to it?
Yeah, really good question. And I think that it's coming through in the food. I think it's coming through in the water. I think it's coming through in the air. I think it's coming through in our clothes, right? You're seeing all this stuff coming out with microplastics now, right? And from the outside looking in, you look and you're like, oh my gosh, like I can't even live my life. It's just, we're just bombarded. But you can, right? You can eat whole real foods from as close nature as possible. Single source food, right? If it's got a label, maybe you put it down, right? If it's got 25 ingredients, maybe you put it down. If it's got seed oils, you definitely put it down, right? So it's whole foods from as close nature as possible, right? It's getting some sort of movement in. These are the foundational principles of FitScript. This is what we teach. We've got almost 1,000 guys in this program now, and I have seen these guys. They come in, they're overweight, they're out of shape, their testosterone's down, right? They're feeling lethargic and like absolute shit. And we always tie back to the foundational things, which I mentioned, whole foods, exercise, movement. Oftentimes, these guys just have to get up off the couch and walk, right? So we're going to meet you where you're at. We're going to address those two things. We got to take a look at sleep. The world is sleeping like absolute shit. They're on their devices. So much stimulation from blue light and fake light. Then you've got get a little bit of sunlight, right? Stress management and hydration. These are the five sort of foundational principles that we teach in FitScript. And if you just focus on those first, you're going to be so much better off. You're going to start to feel really, really.
Yeah. So now with that, taking it a step farther, right? So obviously you guys have, you know, your philosophy with everything, which I kind of like you're saying here. It's like, don't guess.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Right. Which is kind of like, don't trust, verify in the Bitcoin space. So it seems like those kind of resonate pretty hand in hand. Now, what is some, like, outside of everybody, I feel like, kind of knows about the testosterone.
Yep.
But what are some other things that you're seeing, like, a massive decline that you think is potentially really hurting, like, the young men of these days? Because obviously we've got, you know, the headlines are all around testosterone, but I feel like it's a multitude of things.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 guys are metabolically deranged, right? Blood glucose off the charts, A1C off the charts, right? They're just in really poor health. So we see a ton of issues on that side. Hormones are all out of whack. Things like C-reactive protein, things like homocysteine, things that are big-time determining factors for the early onset of cardiovascular disease, which makes sense because one person is dying every 33 seconds in America of cardiovascular disease. It's the number one killer. Now, the markers that we test for, lipoprotein A, ApoB, the doctor is not even looking at those. They're not even on the standard test. And to me, right, I think about that. And then I think about the leading cause of death, cardiovascular disease. Why wouldn't you have those, literally the two most important markers for this, on the annual exam, the annual checkup that you would go to year over year?
Yeah, I mean, I can't explain it, man.
I mean, I think we know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they see those markers, oh my gosh, right? Then they've got to talk about those markers.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you know, and do they really want to prevent it? You can't convince me that they do.
Yeah, it doesn't pay the bills, right? I mean, like we were saying earlier, empty hospital bed doesn't cost anything, right? It just loses money at this point. So then let's go into the deeper issue, right? The testosterone stuff. Yep. So what are some of the main negatives of just having the low T?
Yeah, so fragility, right? Bone density. Desire, right? The desire, the zest to have and build a life, the strength, right? Like a guy will come to me and he'll tell me, you know, I'm depressed, I'm weak, I'm feeling lethargic, I lack motivation. I'm looking at that guy's labs and 100% of the time, he's got suboptimal testosterone. And so then you get into the conversation, well, what do you do? Well, first we go back to the foundational pillars of FitScript that I just shared with you. And we want to make sure that those are intact because if we're just doing TRT therapy, then that's a band-aid just like a statin. But if we take TRT therapy and combined it with the things that I just shared, now we're really moving the needle for the guy. Now he's in a better mood. He's got more strength. He's got a zest for life, right? He's got more motivation to actually get up and go to the gym. And then everything starts to fall into place.
Okay, so that's interesting. So it's obviously you guys start with kind of the natural stuff, right? The pillars that you described here earlier. But then, you know, at a certain point, like we've gotten beaten down so bad, like the human body is very resilient. But over all of this time, you just see the massive amounts of degradation that is happening. I mean, we were talking about it, you know, the microplastics in the balls and everything like that. It seems like it's a massive, massive problem. But there's nobody that is really talking about it in the mainstream. Now, obviously, there's a giant market for all of these different things. But, you know, with people like yourself, why do you think that it hasn't become more of a mainstream idea about, you know, fixing all of these things? And why do you think, like, it's still just so resistant on the just general health of people?
Well, if we're talking about testosterone specifically, mm-hmm. I think that there is an attack on male testosterone. Do they want strong, capable, confident men? Men who can think, men who can stand up for their families? No, right? They want compliant men. They want passive men, right? They want men who can't think for themselves. And so naturally, right, a man with low testosterone is the man that they want, right? The man that's not saying, hey, no, you can't do that. Or, hey, no, I choose this, or I'm going to fight for my family, or I'm going to fight for the freedom of speech. In my mind, right, it makes total sense. And so why aren't they talking about it? Because they don't want real change. And the doctors, they won't even prescribe testosterone, even when it's suboptimal. Oh, no, I have clients that come to me and it's like, you are a prime candidate for testosterone, for TRT, why didn't your doctor give it to you? No. He says, I'm good. Good? 300 testosterone is good? That's not good. Now, there's also an argument that says that these ranges, that these normal, right, healthy ranges that Western medicine has sort of articulated, they're not optimal ranges. They're taking the average of the populace, which is fat, sick, and unhealthy, and saying, okay, here is the range now. And if you're here in this big old range, you're considered normal and healthy. But the guy coming in over and over and over again is saying, hey, doc, I feel like shit. I have no energy. I can't think. My cognitive function sucks. No, no, you're good. It's just getting older. Bullshit.
What if I told you never had to sell your Bitcoin? Instead, you can borrow against it with Salt Lending. Why give up your hard-earned Bitcoin when you can unlock its value without letting it go? With Salt, you get secure Bitcoin collateralized loans with no credit checks, no prepayment fees, and best of all, no rehypothecation. Salt has had zero customer collateral losses since it launched. Salt was the first platform to offer Bitcoin collateralized loans starting way back in 2016. Today, they offer tailored options for both individuals and businesses. And now introducing Salt Shield, the no liquidation solution. No forced liquidations during the lifetime of your loan when you're enrolled with Salt Shield. This just launched at the Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, and it is next level peace of mind. For Green Candle listeners only, head to saltlending.com/green-candle for this exclusive offer for your Bitcoin collateralized loan. You can get cash for your Bitcoin today. Salt Lending, secure, trusted, proven.
No, no, you're good. It's just getting older. Bullshit.
I like that, man. Yeah, and it seems like it's like, all right, here's a pill. You know, that's the solving of all the problems. It's, you know, take the Adderalls, take the whatever it is to focus more because you can't really focus on your own, right? It seems like every kid is hopped up on a bunch of different sugars and SAS and everything like that. So it seems like we're almost being programmed from an early age to go down this negative path. But it seems like there is sort of this revolution now where we're seeing people like yourself and others start to realize that everything is going in a bad direction. They're trying to stop it. They're trying to be louder. Maybe it's just me listening to that in the Bitcoin echo chamber, so to speak, but it definitely seems like this is a movement. Are you noticing more of a path or more people coming to you trying to find a way, you know, to either get healthier and get towards, you know, a more freeing type of life?
100%. Yeah. The trends for FitScript, I mean, month over month, we're bringing more and more clients in. We're experiencing at an unprecedented rate that men are now awake to these suboptimal, huge, healthy ranges. They're just not buying it anymore. And now, right, because so much has come out, or stay healthy, so to speak, and he is in the worst shape, right? Like, the button is exploding, right? He's overweight. He's out of shape. He's got bags under his eyes. And he's the guy that's looking at my labs that's going to optimize me and keep me healthy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring up the ranges because, you know, I mean, I don't remember the exact range, you probably know, of the testosterone, but I remember looking at it. It's like from 300 to like 1200 or something.
It's 300 to 1000.
Yeah.
300 to 900 is where the doctor is going to say you're healthy. You're in the normal range.
And that's like a three times, you know, difference there from normal. That doesn't just like as a certain concept, that just doesn't add up.
And let me ask you this. So Go to Walmart and go to the airport and look out. That's normal. Do you want to be normal?
Yeah.
Do you want to be normal in today's society? Because normal is obese, metabolically deranged, low testosterone, right? Normal is that. And we have, right, like normalized that. And it's so sad to me.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the unique connection is with the money, with health right here, because everybody always says, oh, fix the money, fix the world. This is kind of how it would go about. You know, we've taken a lot of shortcuts to try to pump out as much meat as possible, you know, whether it's injecting all of the cows with crazy antibiotics and, you know, taking all the shortcuts in the food industry. The seed oils, perfect example, right? Oh, you know, the olive oil takes too much money. So we need to cut all expenses and try to make everything cheaper, which in turn has just been worse for us. And so I think over time, people are starting to realize this and wake up a little bit more. But I don't know if they've made the connection with the money. So I think it is unique that you have. Now, with this, right, I mean, you've described a little bit about your path, how to get to the health journey and how you found Bitcoin. But how do you think that you got to that point, you know, the lowest of the lows? Do you, what do you kind of like equate that to? Were you trying to find an escape, trying to find a, you know, were you in that fiat rat race, sitting in a cubicle, just unhappy? Like, how did you get to that, to the lows of the low?
The childhood is stuff full of trauma. And I hate to use that word as a man. It is what it is. I like to say there was a lot of stuck energy and there was a lot of pain. And for me, cocaine and alcohol was a way to numb the pain. So I wasn't stuck in a cubicle. I didn't, at the time, I didn't understand money. I will say that, right? I was robbing Peter to pay Paul, spending, you know, tomorrow's money today. And so I certainly didn't understand money the way that I do now after reading the Bitcoin Standard and going down that rabbit hole. Something is interesting that you say, you know, fix the money, fix the world. A lot of Bitcoiners say that. Fix the money, fix the world. And up until recently, I hadn't really thought about that as it relates to health. And, you know, so it's like fix the health, fix the money. And I truly do believe, like, if you fix the money, you have a better shot at fixing the health. Now, you need evangelists like me and some of these other amazing people. But I truly believe that if you do fix the money, you have a better shot at fixing the health.
Yeah, and I think like people just don't realize how much these industries are interconnected, right? I mean, like money touches everything, your health touches everything. We were talking about retirement, like longevity, like the average age, you know, everybody thinks of this 100 number as it's magic, but the average age for a male in today's society is 73.
And you're talking about the lifespan.
Yeah, or, lifespan.
Sorry. Yeah, lifespan.
Sorry, lifespan.
Yeah, lifespan, yeah. 73.
73 yep. for yep. male, and I think it's 75 for women.
Right.
So still, it's like very, like, not too much farther along, you know? I mean, it still seems like it's very short. And then by that end, you know, we get the retirement number. In the U.S., it's like 63 to 65 is the average retirement. Basically, you have 8 to 10 years to live your life. And like you said, you're living in a nursing home at that point in time. You're not traveling the world and everything like that. So I think fixing the money is one thing to kind of help make your money go a little bit farther. But the health is that thing that I think, you know, people really just devalue over time because you're sitting behind a desk, you know, crunched over with all the blue lights and everything. So fixing the health, how much, the longevity thing is unique with you. You said you want to live to 150.
I want to live to 150. And I think, and I truly believe now with all of the introduction of peptide therapies and stem cells and technology and information, I truly believe that that's possible.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me why. I want to dive into this.
Yeah. I think that with the advent of all of these different therapies, that we're able to give our body a lot of the things that our body stops producing, i.e. peptides, right? Perfect example. After 21, your body is on the decline when it comes to the peptides that your body is producing, right? Which are just small chains, strings of amino acids. And so now we've got all of these peptides, these different therapies, we can bring them in to send the cells signals to do their job more efficiently. Whereas prior to peptides, right, we couldn't do that. That's just one example, right? And I don't know enough about stem cells to go down that rabbit hole, but I know a lot of people are having a ton of success with stem cells. And then I also think information, right? And the advent, not the and I also think the information that's coming along and the influencers and the health evangelists, right? We're talking about sauna, we're talking about cold plunge, we're talking about the technology around smart mattresses and tracking, right? This is an Oura Ring, right? Tracking my HRV, which is a huge metric in the longevity space. I think all of these things combined and the data and the different therapies are going to give us the best chance to live as long as possible.
Hey, gotcha. Yeah. So it's basically like the test don't guess, right?
Test don't guess. Now we've got data.
Yeah.
Right?
So now that we have the efficiencies, we know how to fight those things and kind of combat them, I think is the best way.
Well, go back 50 years ago, right? You didn't know if you had heart disease until it was too late. Now, if you're still stuck in Western medicine, it's going to still be too late. But if you come over, right, and experience functional medicine, experience the test don't guess model, then you have an opportunity to learn about these things well in advance and then be able to take specific actions to push them out or to even reverse them and get rid of them altogether.
Yeah, 100%. And then now with the, you know, the change, I feel like there is a slight change in the way that medicine is viewed. Obviously, we've got, you know, RFK Jr. His slogan is Make America Healthy Again. And he's just basically just, it's kind of crazy how much pushback he gets for just saying, hey, I just want data. Like, I want some of these studies to show that this is efficient and that this causes no harm.
Why is that so crazy? Why can you tell me why anyone on the other side would think that that's crazy?
Yeah.
I just want the data. I just want to look at the numbers. I just want to understand. To me, that's just logical.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense unless there's some sort of other incentive on the other side where they don't want anybody to know this data.
Why would they not want anybody to know?
Exactly, right? I mean, there is some sort of incentive there, right? I mean, and so that's where I think it's kind of, you know, like we're seeing this health push get over. And you interact with a lot of doctors, right? So they're obviously very smart, intelligent
people.
Very
smart. Yep.
Yeah.
And I do that. And I think they mean well. Generally speaking, I think most doctors mean well, but they're taught out of a book. They're taught a specific curriculum. And who is designing that? Who's writing the book? Who's designing the curriculum? Right? Those are the people that need to be held responsible. Some doctors wake up, they leave their Western medicine practice altogether to jump into functional medicine, into real healing, and some don't.
Yeah, so it's more of like the education, which, I mean, I agree with that. I think just in general, the education system has, you know, state run, right? So it's all these things that just are kind of rooting back. And then you could go back to, all right, state run, you want good employees, not really the best CEOs necessarily. So it's just kind of this never-ending cycle with all of this, and it's all just connected to the money, the health, and, you know, the mindset of people. And I think that that's where the beauty of where you come in, right? Adding the testosterone and, you know, kind of bringing that back to the men and kind of bringing that back in the society. But, you know, I think there's a deeper connection when it comes to the testosterone crisis as well, because it's hurting like the family dynamic. We don't see as strong as men. So I'm curious your viewpoint on that and just how you see the family dynamic, how it's shifted, and you know, where you think the potential of getting the men back to a normal testosterone level can help bring that back.
Yeah, so my biggest mission right now is I'm committed to helping men realize their full potential. I was a man who was well beneath his potential for many, many, many years. And I found out I was going to have a daughter. And that woke me up. I became sober and then I got healthy. I got in the vehicle of health. I got really, really, really healthy. I became obsessed with it and changed my physique, changed my health, changed the entire trajectory of my life. And all of a sudden, 12 years go by. I'm a best-selling author of The Sweet Potato Diet. I've got millions and millions and millions of views across all my social media channels. I mean, I've done live workouts. You name it, I've done it. And I had no idea in the beginning when I got into the vehicle of health, I just wanted to improve my life, that the spillover benefit and the net effect would be here right now with you on your podcast. And so I've got this place in my heart where I know that I need to reach more men because of the experience that I have had. My kids think I'm a living, breathing superhero, right? All of my biomarkers are optimized. I'm running multiple tests every single year. I know what it feels like to have really good, strong testosterone. Now, here's the other thing that's not talked about. We also need women to do their part too, because we're living in this weird society where it's like, women are strong too. Yes, they are strong, but they also need to be the nurturers, right? The men are the leaders of the household. The women need to be the nurturers. The issue, right, is like a woman who is a nurturer who takes care of her kids is looked down upon. It's frowned upon. It's like, what? I would not be the man that I am today without my wife who's looking after our kids and making sure that they have everything that they need. So why is it bad to be that woman, to be that feminine, nurturing woman, right? You have the masculine energy and the feminine energy, and those two are very, very, very important. You need both of them. And so when you've got women in these households who are overly controlling and are not at some level submissive to the man who's the leader, then you get this weird dynamic.
This bull run, I think everybody should focus on getting their Bitcoin in self-custody and off exchanges. We all saw what happened last time with the huge blow-offs. We had Celsius, FTX, all of the big dogs blowing up. Well, this time, everybody's being smart and holding their Bitcoin in self-custody. This is why I'm going with the number one hardware wallet in the game. That's Trezor. You can go to trezor.io or the affiliate link below to get yours for 5% off using promo code GreenCandle5. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges in the easiest way possible. They are a trusted brand. They've been in the game the longest of any hardware wallets out there. So that's why I've partnered with them, making it the easiest for you to get your Bitcoin off exchanges and not have to worry about any counterparty risk. So do it today. Go to the affiliate link below. Use promo code GreenCandle5. Enough from me. Let's get back to the show.
You get this weird dynamic.
Yeah, so let's keep diving into that, because, you know, we've got this weird dynamic and it seems like it's kind of tearing, you know, the families apart. We've got obviously, you know, a big divorce crisis in the United States, like over 50% don't work. And, you know, we're growing up broken households. Children don't have that strong leader, whether it's the man or the woman or both of them together, kind of working together. So it seems like all of this has degraded society in a sense. And they say the number one reason of divorce is money. So okay, Fixing the money, and then, you know, having the health, the men, as well as that mindset as well. You know, how do you think that these kind of things can help change, and how have you seen it change not only yourself, but a lot of your clients that you bring in?
Is it the money, or is it the man who is so depressed, is fatigued, and sitting on his couch or at the bar every single weekend watching football with this fantasy football, fantasy baseball, right? Like, is it really just the money, or is it a culmination of this kind of weird dynamic?
So I think that it would, for a man to reach their full potential, they always need to be striving for something.
100%.
And I think that society now, as it is, as we've been kind of like going back and forth a little bit on, is like, you just get beaten down as a man. Like, these women need to be strong, you know, all of these things. You're not necessarily the leader, or you're not being pushed to be the leader that these men should be.
Yes.
And so I think over time that beats you down, and then you see the amount of money that you have just inflate away.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So you see things like, all right, the average home price 8 years ago was like $320,000. Now it's $440,000. So in 8 years, you see that basically go up almost 50%.
Sure.
Your salary's not going up that much. You get a job that, you know, you go work really hard. All right, here's a 3% raise. Well, I just saw housing go up 20% in a year.
Sure.
So everything that you're doing and you're working really hard for, you fail enough and you don't have somebody in your corner, or, you know, you have the lower hormones and you don't have those in check, you just give up after a while.
Sure.
And I think it takes, you know, a certain type of person to push through that right now, just because of, you know, the lack of, like, what we've been saying, of all the hormones, the testosterone and everything, as well as not having other people in your corner.
Sure.
But I think the change that can happen is getting everybody optimized with that, and then we're all set off to the races.
I have taken men from poor health. And when I say poor health, I'm not just talking about looking at a man and seeing, okay, he's got bags under his eyes, he's tired, I can see the way he's moving, he's slouched over, he's got a belly. I'm talking about looking at 120 plus biomarkers, which is what we do at FitScript, looking and seeing what's under the hood. And you're like, no wonder this guy doesn't have motivation. No wonder this guy is depressed. No wonder he doesn't want to go to the gym. I wouldn't either. And so there is a lot of truth to what you're saying, right? You start optimizing, and it's not just testosterone. Oh, that's a big, 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 big deal, right? It's also looking at all the nutrient deficiencies, right? We're looking at tons of nutrient deficiencies, and we're going to tell that person, based on those deficiencies, exactly what they need to take, how much vitamin C they need, how much magnesium they need. Do they need DHEA? Do they need selenium? Do they need L-theanine? Like, right? All of it really, really matters, because if you are deficient in a slew of micronutrients, vitamins, and minerals, that's also going to impact the way that you feel, motivation, drive on a daily basis.
All right, so what do 99% of doctors get wrong?
99% of the doctors get wrong. 99% of the doctors are just looking to diagnose and treat, right? You have to look at Western medicine and say, okay, I'm only going to go to the doctor if, right, I break my arm, I slice a finger off, right? I get cut, I need stitches, there's an emergency. Doctors, and God bless them, it's amazing that we have these resources when an accident occurs, right? We go there, we get sewn up. But you don't go to a doctor to get healthy. You don't go to a doctor, and you certainly don't go to a doctor to become optimized. Your doctor wouldn't know the first thing about optimizing you. He's not optimized. Look at him.
Yeah. Okay, so they're just putting a Band-Aid on this giant gash, essentially.
You are healthy until they can diagnose and treat you, literally, right? Because you think about those ranges, right? I talk about these ranges, the standard Western medicine ranges. They're huge, right? Huge. And you're healthy. You're normal. You're healthy. You're normal. While you're sliding every single year, you're sliding a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further until you're on the outskirts of those ranges. And then what happens? Bam. I'm sorry, but you have got fill in the blank. And I say fill in the blank because I don't like the word cancer. I say cancel instead of cancer. I'm not even subscribing to these diseases, so I don't like to talk about them. Right. But that's the reality. The reality is every year you're doing what they tell you to do and you're sliding on this sort of scale of the standard range until you just get right outside and you get hit with a diagnosis. And the hope is that the diagnosis can be reversed. But oftentimes it's not. And then it leads to, I'm sorry, you've got stage two. Right? Like stage two testicular cancer or whatever. It is like, doc, dude, you told me last year I was in the normal range. I was healthy. How do you go from there in 1 year to there? Well, the truth is that it's happened over a multitude of years, but you were never told.
And it seems like the solution, so to speak, is always to treat the symptoms that you get after the fact instead of the root cause of everything. So with that, you know, we've obviously gotten a massive amounts of crazy diseases that allegedly, you know, we never really had before, right? I mean, we're talking about chronic diseases, cancers, things like that. We've never really found those pop up. So do you think the lifestyles that we've had right now is essentially the reasoning for a lot of these diseases that are popping up?
I do. And I think it's by design. I do. I think at some level, we've got to hold ourselves accountable. Absolutely. I'm not going to place blame. I'm not the victim, right? We have to take control. But I certainly think that they, right, have not made it easier. The food, the air, the water, all of it, right? Like it's coming through. It's coming through medicine. It's coming through all of it. So while they haven't made it easier for us to do this, it's still our problem, right? We have to control ourselves and hold ourselves accountable. And now that we're aware of this, take even more massive action.
Okay, so now you said the food, the air, and the water. So I'm curious about the last two because a lot of people talk about the food, but very few people talk about like the air and the water. What are some of the things that you see that are some of the issues? Like maybe it's, you know, obviously we're getting like more respiratory diseases. Everybody loves to suck the vapes and all of that bull. And, you know, but the air and the water is something that's unique, I think, to what I'm hearing from what you're saying. So What are some of the things that somebody can do just off the jump to kind of
filter their water?
Yeah.
Right. I can't even fathom, and it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while it does happen where somebody is drinking water out of their water faucet. It's like, you don't do that. Like fluoride and all kinds of other shit is coming through that water. So that's that. And then obviously, right, air, you could argue, right, the chemtrails. But then, right, like if you live in a busy city, right, smog, exhaust, all of that, those are toxins that you're breathing in. And so again, right, what can you do? Sauna, 100%, right? The sauna is probably, if I'm looking at all of the different modalities out there and saying, okay, like if I could only choose one, what's the one that's gonna have the biggest impact on my health? It's the sauna. Dry finish sauna, extremely hot. I'm in the sauna 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes every other day. So 4 days a week. And if you look at the stats behind what that does, right, drops all cause mortality by 50%, risk of dementia, risk of sudden stroke, improves HRV, improves blood glucose circulation, right? There's no single better thing in my mind than the sauna. And that's also, right, going to help you release and detoxify heavy metals and other toxins that are stuck in your tissues.
Yeah, so sauna, the lowest barrier to entry to kind of get in there and help optimize your health. What's the second?
Why would you ever hold generational wealth on a piece of paper? It doesn't make sense. You need a foolproof solution, and I've got it for you. You could get this as low as $25, and if you use promo code GreenCandle, you could get 10% off. Being around for 12 years, they've engineered the perfect and most easy to use solution. I've partnered with CryptoSteel to offer for you guys just that. It is the cheapest and most secure way to store your seed phrase. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have too many things where I think one ton is going to fall on this, but it could survive all of that and more. So go to CryptoSteel.com. You can use promo code GreenCandle. You can get 10% off your entire order if you go there today. So go ahead and protect your generational wealth and do it with CryptoSteel. All right, enough from me. Back to the show.
There and help optimize your health. What's the second?
The second, it's expensive. Hyperbaric chamber is amazing.
Okay. Right?
Let's just sleep.
Okay.
Sleep.
Because they do say like it's the sauna and cold plunge, right? That's the new fad right now. So what are the, I guess, the some of the optimizations for both? Because, I mean, I did not cold plunge, but I did ice baths basically for 4 straight years of my life during college athletics.
Yep.
That was all for recovery. And, you know, I mean, for that perspective. And it seems like now the cold plunge trend is more for the mental side of it.
Sure.
It's not necessarily, but what are the, like some of the health benefits?
Well, I think the biggest thing, right, with cold exposure is it's going to drive inflammation down. Right. And inflammation is the number one predecessor to disease. Show me somebody who has got chronic disease, and I can tell you for fact that they had tons of inflammation and probably still do inside their body. Right. You get a cold, you're inflamed. And so it is literally the thing that happens prior to whatever the disease, the illness is. It's your body is inflamed. And so getting in, introducing cold exposure or the cold plunge, 3 minutes a day, 11 minutes a week is like the sort of, you know, if you want to max out the benefits, 3 minutes, you don't need to do more than 3 minutes in a single session, but you want to aim for about 11 minutes a week.
Then how cold are we talking too? Because, like, I mean, like, some of them I see these people, like, they're chiseling the ice and everything like that. I've always liked it, you know, like 40, 50 degrees or something like that for just ice baths in college. But anytime I got any lower than that, I'd feel cramping, all this terrible stuff. And I just hate the cold water. Dude.
38,
I dread it. 38
to 45 degrees, I think, is the sweet spot. But one thing you said is we were discussing or getting ready to discuss cold exposure, as you talked about the mental piece, right? And so my kids, going on 13 and 11, they come and they do the sauna and the cold plunge with me 4 days a week. And the wife, like we do this together.
It's as a family.
It's like in a family affair, right? And they do it and I do it. And I'll tell you something, right? Like if you get to a place where you can do 20 minutes at 200 degrees, right? Heart starts to beat, right? Maybe get a little bit anxious, you know, towards the end of that, but you know, right, ultimately, right, it's improving HRV, it's circulation is improving, blood glucose, insulin sensitivity, all these things. You know for the health benefits that you're there and you're good. And then you also introduce cold exposure, 3 minutes at, you know, 38 to 45 every other day. You do that, you become mentally tough. Because there's not much else in your day that's harder than sitting in 40-degree water, right? Totally submersed for 3 minutes. There's not much harder than being in a sauna at 200 degrees for 20 minutes. Like, if you think about your day, right? You're stuck in traffic, probably a little easier than what I just shared with you. Oh, your boss is mad at you? Still probably easier than what I just shared with you. And so you develop the mental fortitude when you bring these modalities in. It's almost like you invite the uncomfortableness so that you can deal with the other uncomfortable things that happen throughout your day.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the mental aspect is a big issue as well. I mean, like we were saying, right? Everybody's kind of losing that drive. That's what, like, everybody's hormones are out of whack, and this is why you're not just mentally there, mentally focused, and able to basically turn on the jets at a certain point, right? Like, focus on being driven, business, whatever it is. And so that's why I think a big connection with the health and just overall your life. I mean, that's what the ancient Greeks would always say, healthy body, healthy mind. And so
100%.
that's what they would always focus on. And so I think that's a really undermined point when we've gotten to where we are in society today. And I think the Bitcoiners are finally starting to come around on that aspect. But I think that and then adding the little bit of competition as well, whether it's like competing with yourself, kind of pushing yourself, whether it's cold plunge, sauna, or sports or something along those lines, I always think that that's a little healthy as well.
I agree with you.
So I think that gets a little undermined because I think people shy away from the competition a little bit.
They do. And we're talking about men and drive and confidence, right? Show me a man that's doing hard things consistently that's not confident,
Yeah.
right? I mean, the key, and I teach this inside FitScript because I still do some of the coaching. Once you come in, a Monday night is my night, right? And the one thing I teach, right, is if you want happiness, grow. Grow in anything, right? It doesn't matter, right? You could be becoming the best guitar player. You're growing, right? Every single day, you're like, holy shit, okay, wow, like I can play this song and I can play that song. Grow in your health, right? You're growing because now you're a sub 8 mile. You could never do that. Now you're like, that is going to breed happiness. And those two things combined, growth, happiness, leads to confidence. And confidence is so underrated. It's something that I drill into my kids. But the truth is like, how do you get confidence? You get confidence through repetition, right? You develop skills through repetition. You develop that confidence, right, by taking massive action, but then doing it over and over and over again while challenging yourself to do the harder thing than yesterday.
Yeah, repetition is the mother of skill, I think. So, I mean, we talked about, you talk about Kobe Bryant and like some of the Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. They always talk about how these guys were just so confident.
This bull run, I'm looking for ways to stack Bitcoin in my sleep, and mining has always caught my eye. I've partnered with the guys over at Simple Mining to help you do just that. I don't recommend anything that I don't use personally, so I've got a machine up and running with them right this second. And they've even opened the facility up so anyone can go and visit. They manage over 15,000 machines for 500 clients, handling all of the maintenance and repairs so you don't have to. And for the Green Candle listeners, they're giving an exclusive offer, all the repairs for the first year for free. So if you've been thinking about mining, head on over to simplemining.io/greencandle to get this exclusive offer and learn about the potential tax benefits that you can get from mining with Simple Mining. All right, enough from me. Let's get back to the show.
And their ability, but their confidence, like you said, isn't built in, just doing it one time.
They didn't take four shots.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Michael Jordan missed the most free throws ever, I think, or something like that. And he says that I missed thousands and thousands of shots, but that's why I was successful.
Sure.
Just because of going through all of those, the failures, the trials and tribulations. But as you've been developing in your own career, what are some of the biggest key takeaways that you've had that say, all right, you have somebody that is just getting started, maybe either it's in the entrepreneurial journey, health journey, Bitcoin journey, even. If you could go back in time and give yourself some advice to help accelerate that growth, what would it be?
Get around smarter people sooner.
Okay, let's dive into that.
So, because I lacked self-worth and because I wasn't confident, I had to be the smartest person in the room for a really long time. And you don't learn by being the smartest person in the room. You learn by being the dumbest person in the room,
Yeah.
right? And so surrounding yourself with people who have excelled, who you can look up to and ultimately imitate, I think is hugely important. Environment, right? It just ties back to the environment. Environment is huge. And I had to leave an old environment with all of my friends, amazing friends, guys that I love, guys that I wish nothing but the best for. But I had to leave that environment I literally burned the boats, as you would. Moved to Scottsdale, moved my entire family to Scottsdale to get myself into a new environment so that I could thrive. So I would have done that sooner. I think setting up your environment is huge. And even if you have to take a few steps back, right? Even if you can't afford all of the things that you're used to because the new environment is expensive and maybe you can't go out to as many dinners or you can't buy that thing that you want, environment is what is going to propel you to success. Amazing environment, you'll fly, right? Now you still have to take action, right? But poor environment, you're going to be held back. And for the guys that are listening, right? Some of us have poor environments at home, right? Some of us are out of alignment with our wives, with our families. And so you need to sit down with your wife and have this conversation with them and say, hey, look, like I've realized my shortcomings. I've realized that I'm weak and I am not being the leader of this household that you need to be, that you need me to be, or that the kids need me to be. And I am feeling inclined to step up, but here is what I need from you. I need you to support me in this. I need you to level up with me because if I'm the only one leveling up, here's what I know, right? There's going to be distance between us because I'm growing and you're not. And what happens, right? You have less and less to talk about. And then pretty soon the divorce happens. And so you have to have this conversation with your wife and you have to say, this is what we're going to do, right? Do you agree? Do you want what's best for me? Yeah, yeah. Well, I want what's best for you too. And I want what's best for these kids. And so let's have a real conversation about what that looks like and how you need to grow and how I need to grow so that we can do this together.
And I think it's all about having the tough conversations too. And I think some of the toughest conversations ever is like, all right, you know, health and money. And those just, I keep reverting back to that with you because I feel like those are always the two. Oh, you know what? Hey, you're not really pushing yourself in the gym. You're gaining a little bit of weight. You know what I mean? That imagine saying that. That's going to get a couple people smacked here or there. But at the end of the day, you're just saying it out of, you know, love and kindness. And I think that that's always trying to elevate somebody else, right? And I think that's where we are in society right now is like it's really difficult to have those tough conversations and really pull that out of people to help bring the best because a lot of people just get into that defensive mechanism right off the jump, like somebody's attacking them. And it's that victim mentality that so many people seem to have in today's society.
What's wrong with being direct?
I think it's a great thing.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
But I think at a certain point, like we've gotten to this point where being direct is a huge negative.
Yeah, I get it. Look, if you get on a call with one of my health advisors or me, which happens rarely these days, I will tell you everything that you need to hear, nothing that you want to hear.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like, if going back to athletics, like every coach that I had that I was the most successful under was just extremely direct. And like, I think you have to be to pull the best out of people. It's just open and honest. These are the issues. Here's the solution, or here's what you need to do to reach your full potential.
How could you be your best otherwise? How could you be your best if you're constantly being pacified? It's going to be okay. You look okay. Your wife does not think you look okay. She is being nice to you, right? You know you look like shit. You looked in the mirror this morning and you can't see your own dick. You think that your wife thinks that that's sexy? She doesn't, right? The wives need to come out and say, hey, I demand more. I want you to be in shape. I want you to look good. And we should, as men, demand the same thing.
Yeah, and I think it's just from a, you know, it starts at the top down too. Like we've just seen it in government that we've never really been pushed to do the best, right? It's always been okay, you know, everything's just been kind of average. But I think in this new administration, we're starting to see them push the boundaries a little bit. We've already brought up RFK. Obviously, we've got Trump in there as well, who seems to be kind of pushing the boundaries, whether it's with Doge, the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve, and, you know, all of these other things that he seems to be moving a little bit quickly. Now, how do you view this overall, like, new admin just from, like, the health and the business side of things and how you've seen this development go through?
I mean, I love what I'm seeing, but I'm taking it as a grain of salt because I know how big and strong Big Pharma is. And it's not a one-person job. It's a collective, right? It's a collective. It's an evolution, right? And we need to continue to speak up. And we need to continue to have voices like you and voices like me stand up and tell these men, like, hey, you have what it takes, right? We just need to rewire and reprogram a few things, but you have what it takes, right? God, you're God's highest form of creation, right? You could be a fucking turnip, but you're a man, with a consciousness, right? And you need to use that consciousness. You need to express yourself. You need to move things out of your environment that are not serving you and bring things into your environment that are serving you. And you develop good habits and need to build the foundation and need to push and you need to go and you need to attack and you need to be a leader for your family.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to take over time. I think more and more people are starting to see that and get to that place in life. So with this, let's bring it back to Bitcoin, the good old orange coin, the fixed scarcity, and seeing this, you know, the longevity, kind of where we started the conversation off. Yeah. Obviously, you need, you know, the money to last as long as you do, yeah. Right? So
you can't. It's hard to have good health. Yeah. Without a good amount of money.
Without good wealth.
Right?
Right.
Very, very hard. It's they go hand in hand.
So what really resonated with you around the Bitcoin, ethos that you kind of drew you to become this maxi? Because, you said it at the beginning, right? Everybody dabbles in the altcoins, the shit coins, whatever we want to call them. I mean, I dabbled in them too once upon a time. But what kind of spoke out to you about the Bitcoin ethos that really just drove you to become a full-fledged maxi?
Well, I'm here for humanity. And I think that Bitcoin is the only thing that has an opportunity to transform humanity. And so I still have friends that are in my ear, well, you need a little bit of XRP and Ethereum is going to do this and HBAR or whatever, right? And it's like, fine, you can probably make money there. But I'm not there to make money. I'm there for humanity. And so just as much and just as important as FitScript is and this health movement and helping men realize their full potential, to me, Bitcoin is just as important. And so for me, it's both of them. I don't want one without the other. I want both.
Yeah, I think this ties in perfectly because obviously we're coming together and creating this show, Decentralized Human, where I think it's going to be connecting the money and the health of people and just taking it away from the matrix and getting and escaping away from that. So if there's like one or two takeaways that you want people to get from this new show or to learn from it,
yeah.
What would it be?
Well, I'm really, really excited to kick off this new show with you, yeah. The Decentralized Human, right? Unplugging from the matrix. And the first of its kind, right? I don't know of any other show that is talking about health and wealth in the way that we will. And we're going to be controversial. We're going to say things that people need to hear. Perhaps they don't want to hear. But I am very, very excited. We've got, you know, some amazing guests coming on. But I think it aligns perfectly with the FitScript, right? Test, don't guess, right? And it's don't trust, verify. I think the ethos really, really makes sense. And after bringing, gosh, probably 50 Bitcoiners, Bitcoin maxis into FitScript, there's just this amazing alignment, right? The low preference, the low time preference. They have a zest, right, for life that a lot of people don't have. Sort of latched on to this belief that Bitcoin can change humanity. And in order for that to happen, right, you have to have your health because, right, let's get to a place where we can see that happen, right? Imagine, I don't know if it's 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, but imagine, right, being able, and when I say able, being in such good health that not only do we see the transformation of humanity as it relates to money, but we have this vibrant zest for life while it unfolds.
Yeah, and I think that zest for life, it really comes because I think people, like we were saying a little bit earlier, just get beaten down and they're like, oh, there's no way out. There's no way out. Then they find Bitcoin and they're like, okay, now I have this newer found meaning of life and how I want to expand that, whether it's live longer, you know, actually start a family, do things that they actually felt like they were called to, but always got held back for some reason or another. And now this is kind of helping expand, I think, everybody's thought process around just life in general, that it doesn't have to be work in a cubicle until you're 65 and then maybe you can go to Europe one time in your entire life or whatever it is, and then you'll be limping around the cobblestones out there and unable to walk or anything like that. I think for me, Bitcoin helped find a new hope and a new resounding, let's call it, motivation to just get after and chase my goals. And it opened up, changed my life completely. And the next step, I think, for me and a lot of other Bitcoiners is to figure out the health side of things.
Which we're going to get your fit script done.
Yeah, we're going to get that.
We're going to document everything. I'm really, really excited for it. But if you look, right, what are they stealing from us, right? They're stealing our money, our wealth, every single day through taxation and inflation. And they're stealing
time and money. They're stealing it from us.
They're stealing it, right? You, God forbid, right? Grandma goes into the doctor, right? After being fine for years and years and years, you're normal. You're normal, even though grandma wasn't feeling good, right? Then all of a sudden, right, the diagnosis hits, chronic disease hits, and then what? They're just stripping her of her health while they're stripping her of her wealth, right? Think about it, right? Back and forth to the doctor. All right. One medication turns to 16 medications by the time you're 65 years old. So now you're on medication. All right. Then the chemotherapy comes in. You're literally withering away. There's no getting healthy. There's no, it's a trap.
Right? Yeah.
And so you leave this planet without even being able to remember your kids' or grandkids' names and no fucking money because they have stripped you of it the whole way through. It makes me angry.
It should. I mean, like, it's just like that's the process. I mean, you know, I'm seeing it from my family and everybody that I'm really close to is like, you know, you get into these corporate environments. They try to get you to drink the Kool-Aid. It's these people that stress over, you know, their whole life is their job. They don't have any motivation outside of it. This is all they can talk about. They got nothing to relate to people, have any sort of conversation. It's just, what can I get out of you, opposed to actually connecting with humans and living a more peaceful and happy and joyous life. And I think this is what I, from my perspective, and I think from yours as well, I don't want to speak for you, but what the decentralized human is, it really means to me, is actually bringing people to seek the happiness and try to figure out their lives and get the financial and the health house in order. And I think everything falls into place after that. Exactly. There you go. And then, go ahead.
I have a question for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
In the beginning of the podcast, you mentioned...
I've actually done a few videos on this. So it really depends on like when you would like to retire. But if you look at it right now, the average retirement account from somebody my age, right? So 25 to 34, 35 is about $30,000, $40,000, like $43,000. The average 401k, RRA, $40,000 right now. So that's all that an average retirement account has.
Oh my gosh. I know that.
Yeah. So if you put that into Bitcoin right now, that's, you know, say 0.4 of a Bitcoin. I think theoretically, if I just had 0.4 Bitcoin right now and I did exactly what I was trying to, like, just worked until I'm 65, that's plenty of Bitcoin to retire. Now, if I wanted to retire sooner, it really depends, right? What are these factors you want? You want a couple Bitcoin? I think right now, as it stands, if you have like 1.5 Bitcoin, you could be pretty fine here in the next like 3-4 years, as long as you're just living, you know, and not spending crazily. It just really depends on your expenses and how you're deciding to live your life. But I've also done videos. I think, you know, you could retire as much on as 0.01 Bitcoin right now, which is like $1,200. And you just wait long enough because of how scarce Bitcoin is. The only thing scarcer than Bitcoin is time. So you get just a small sliver of that. Like right now, if you really look at the amount of millionaires in the world, there's 62 million millionaires in the world. $1 million sounds like a lot of money, right? But there's 13 million public wallets that have 1 million Satoshis or 0.01 Bitcoin, which is $1,200. So if you have $1,200 worth of Bitcoin right now, you're in more of a rare class than you are being a millionaire in the world today.
Wow.
So it just shows how early we are with all of this. And I think the development of that, it's just going to skyrocket. So I think, one, if you get your financial house in order, you have a little bit of Bitcoin, you're going to be perfectly fine. And then two, you start to get your and optimize your health. That's when it's game over.
So you can only have one.
You can only have one.
You can have 100 Bitcoin. Or your health.
Well, I mean, of course, health is like if you had 100 Bitcoin and you can't walk down the street, what fun is that?
Right.
You know, you need to have both, I think.
And for the people watching, right? Like, we shouldn't be making that trade off.
Yeah.
I have entrepreneurs who come in who have traded their health, built huge businesses, literally traded their health, literally deteriorating, right? And now, what do they got to do? They got to spend all that wealth.
Yeah.
Right. To get their health back.
Exactly.
It's like, do them simultaneously. Take care of them both.
Yeah. And I think like over time, more people are going to resonate with that. And I think this is the beauty of conversations like this and more that we're going to have on decentralized humans. But Mike, thanks so much for joining me here on the State of Bitcoin podcast. Why don't you tell people where they can find out more about you and about FitScript?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. So my handle across all social media, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Instagram, I'm on X, is Morelli Fit. So my last name, M-O-R-E-L-L-I, and then Fit, F-I-T, and then FitScript. Oh, you actually have the shirt on.
Yeah, I got the shirt on. There we go.
This is the fuck aging shirt. That's the FitScript shirt, but it's FitScript, just like it says there, .me.
There we go.
Yeah, and I appreciate this. Great conversation. I'm really looking forward to the Decentralized Human Podcast. We're going to rip it. We're going to light it up. It's going to be amazing because you are just such a wealth of knowledge on the finance and Bitcoin side. I think we make an amazing duo, and I think we're going to give something to the world that it hasn't seen yet.
100%. And there's definitely more to come, and we're going to have some great guests. We've got a lot planned, so stay tuned.
Thank you guys all for tuning in to another great episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you found some value in this one, please hit that subscribe button and that like button to help send this one to the masses. And I've got a surprise for you guys. I've got two more episodes that you have the chance to watch here. So go ahead and click one of them, and I'll see you guys all at the next one.